That sounds tasty.
It is tasty. Welcome to Brains, Bibles, and Beyond, where we discuss theology and worldview apologetics. I am Nate Day with Think Like Christ Ministries, and this guy over here is Joel Willoughby with Brains and Bibles.
If you want to find out more information about our ministries, you can go on to thinklikechrist.org for Nate Day over here.
Yep.
And then brainsandbibles.com for myself. Appreciate it.
Yeah. And if you have any questions, concerns, hate mail, fan mail, just want to send me mail, you can do that at podcast@thinklikechrist.org. And that's the email for our podcast. And that can be for either one of us. So one day we wouldn't mind doing like a Q&A session. Maybe we'll throw a special one in.
Right.
And but we got to get enough questions in order to have a Q&A. So
we can just make it up, but we'd rather have your cues.
Yeah, it could be my cues and your A's or vice versa.
Sure.
Or we could alternate back and forth. It'd be kind of fun.
Well, we don't get too crazy, but
that wouldn't be that crazy.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, it's a theology podcast. How crazy can it get? So anyway, we have been discussing the goodness of God. So this is episode 4, or
this is
part 4.
Yeah, part 4.
Episode 7, but part 4 indeed. Of Is God Good? And we have answered some of that. Today we're kind of want to wrap up everything and help come to conclusions, at least the best that we can. There's some things that we just can't fully understand.
Right.
But we can remember the truths of God's word and come to some conclusions. So
absolutely,
we're gonna try to do that.
So I was starting off with some summary thoughts on where we've been already.
Yeah.
And we're gonna kind of give it a capstone today, but here we go. So I have five kind of big thoughts, and there is some overlap between them. But the first one, we have seen the tension. This goes right back to the very beginning. The tension of defining goodness in the world. There's a kind of a battle for that, and recognize the necessity then at the end of it, the necessity for the standard of goodness, to have that actual objective, consistent, and universal standard of goodness.
Yes, which is God.
Absolutely. There can be no other standard. That's the conclusion that we come to. Everything else, even you say, hey, God is evil. You know, what are you doing? You're becoming the standard yourself. That's subjective. Mm-hmm. And then you think to yourself, well, am I perfect in all ways? Well, no. So that's a faulty standard. It all falls apart. Yada, yada, yada. Okay. Did you know that yada, yada, yada is the Hebrew word for you know is yada. So you go yada, yada, yada. You're saying, you know.
I did not know.
It's a Hebrew thing. Yeah. It's interesting. Okay.
I don't speak Hebrew, though.
Well, neither do I really.
Yes, you do.
yada, yada, yada. Okay. So number two, second one. We've observed that the existence of goodness requires the existence of evil.
Now, I don't know if I agree with that statement. Because I think it's the other way around, right? I think the existence of evil requires the existence of good, because evil corrupts what is good. So when God got done creating, he said, it's all good.
Absolutely.
And then man sinned and brought evil into the world.
Yeah, so I like saying it this way, because I know that, you know, Nate likes saying it the other way. I think there's two ways to think about it, but you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, because good was first. Was first. We have to recognize that there was a perfect and good God that created a perfect and good creation.
Yes.
And then what I like to think about, though, is that there was that tree of knowledge of good and evil that was there on earth, and God says it is all very good. With that tree sitting right there. So the idea was that there is still a concept of evil because God is all knowing, but no one actually did evil yet. So there was no evil in reality.
I think evil was possible. God made evil possible, but because he created the knowledge of good and evil.
Well, right? Yeah. We're getting to the, where evil comes from.
He made it possible.
Yeah.
He didn't make the evil.
Right. There's a big difference there.
There's a huge difference.
So we'll kind of come back to that thought there. But yeah, the idea is that, if you were to peel away that goodness, well, that is evil. You know, taking away the goodness is evil. But I think more correctly is that evil perverts what is good.
Yes.
Yes.
It corrupts. It corrupts what's there.
Absolutely. So then third point, a little summary thought here. We've observed that the existence of, read the same thing again. So the reality of a free choice provides authentic relationships. The reality of a free choice provides authentic relationships, but there's a price to pay.
What's that price?
It also provides the opportunity for evil. So free choice is a necessity for real relationships.
Because God made us to love him because God is love.
Right.
And if it was coercion or forced to, or we had to love, it's not really love. Because love implies that there is a choice.
Right.
You have to choose to love God, which is why God gave Adam and Eve the opportunity to choose not to love him or to choose to disobey him, which in essence was then the opportunity for evil to exist. Even though God didn't really create evil, he made it possible by giving Adam and Eve a choice.
Right. Yes.
Which absolutely. Then they made the wrong choice and plunged the whole world into death and destruction and perversion of what was good.
So then I think it's, you know, even a kind of a crazier idea is Satan himself. Because Satan didn't just choose another thing outside of him besides God. He chose him besides God. So he's the one he's the first person that realized, you know what? I could just choose me. I don't need to choose God.
Yeah,
and it's kind of an interesting idea.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's another story for another time.
Yeah, and then part of mankind's problem then is, you know, we create the problem and then blame everyone else. So,
right.
You know, so it's okay to question, you know, why do bad things happen if God's good? You know, those questions are okay for us. Everybody has those.
Yes.
But our human nature is always wants to blame someone else for our problems.
Right.
You know, bad exists because the human race sinned. You know, start with Adam. If you'd been there, you would have sinned too. If I was there, I would have sinned. If anyone was there, they would have sinned. They would have done the same choice. You know,
right.
Adam was created perfect by God and he still sinned. Right.
And he blamed God for the sin.
And immediately that woman you gave me, right? Yes.
So you gave her to me. So it's your fault ultimately. But of course it was the woman, you know, she's the one that started this whole thing.
She just immediately blamed the serpent because this snake made me sin. Right.
Right.
So, but you know, we do that. Like I do it at work, you know, it's messed something up. And the first thought you have is, well, how can I hide this? You know, the second thought then is, you know, who can I blame? You know, because this is our human nature and it's not right. You know, we need to man up, take ownership of our problems. Mm-hmm. And if we mess something up, it's not God's fault. It's our fault. And, you know, God did not create evil. Man did. You know, man's the one who sinned. God only made it possible. So
we really have already said the fourth summary point through several of these, but just the point that God did not author evil or suffering. We've already been through that.
Yeah.
So then the fifth, last little summary point here, God does have a plan in place to end evil and suffering.
Yeah.
Some people say, well, why doesn't he just end it? Well, he has spoken very clearly in the written word of God. It is going to end. There is a plan in place. And by the way, folks, everything is happening just like he said it would be happening.
Yeah.
No surprises.
It's the grace of God that he has not ended us yet.
Good point. Yes.
You know, we still have things that need done. There's still people that need to come to Christ. And it's the goodness of God that allows us to continue to just share his word and to lead others to Christ. And that he is restraining from coming back yet, I guess. You know, that is the grace of God.
Right. You know, think about it, if everything was ended people. Right now, there'd be people that may believe that would not have that opportunity.
Yeah.
And God has all that in his head. He knows exactly who it would be. And because he loves them as well so much, he's waiting. He's waiting for them.
He's waiting.
It's beautiful. Well, so I've also thought through, as we, you know, kind of think through the capstone episode here to end, you know, the Goodness of God series. There are certain questions I hear that are really just the wrong question. You know, I want to answer it for people and help them out, but there's actually better questions to ask. And I can really think of three good questions to ask. So some people would say, why is there evil and suffering? That's not really the best question. It's an honest and good question, but
yeah, it's not sinful to ask these questions. Right. And sometimes the answer that you may receive is, well, you shouldn't even be questioning God. You shouldn't be asking that question.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'm not really questioning God. I mean, I'm just legitimately asking the question, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like we look around and we've all been there. But what is the better question?
Right. And there's a way to ask in a rebellious way.
Yeah.
There's a way to ask in a curious way.
Yes.
It's like in my own children. You know, they can ask me, why am I doing this or why are we not doing that? And then there's times I know they're just curious.
Yeah.
I want to help them. I want them to understand. Yeah. We do things for, you know, a certain way in the household.
In fact, with my children, I encourage those questions.
Right.
I want them to know why we're doing it and ask why. But then there's.
But there's another kind of question.
There's another, why are we doing that?
Yes.
That we all know isn't truly curiosity.
Right.
It's not to learn. It's because.
It's rebellion.
It's rebellion.
Yeah. So, and God knows our hearts. So, but I think the better question is, why is there good and comfort?
Yeah.
Instead of saying, why is there evil and suffering? You say, why is there good and comfort? Because, you know, you think about the person that would reject God completely. If everything is just coincidence and randomness and we're all just, you know, happen to be here, why would there be anything good and comfortable at all? And so, you know, if you put something at the feet of God that is blame for evil and suffering, then you must put something at the feet of God that is credit for good and comfort.
Yeah. Now, once again, God is not to blame for evil.
Of course,
but if you just logically think, well, he is, well, then you also have to say, well, he's also gets the credit for all good.
Right.
In reality, he only just gets credit for the good. So,
yeah. And then the second question is right along the same lines.
Yep.
So, you know, someone say, why do bad things happen? And the better question is, why do good things happen? You know, same idea, really. So why is there good and comfort? Why do good things happen? And the third one, it gets more personal. Why would God be good to me? And so I think we've talked about this before earlier, but even something as just so saddening as dementia, when you see someone suffering in that way, and I was just talking with another family member about this another time, and you see that gets really sad. But you think to yourself, well, not why does this person have dementia, but why doesn't everybody?
Yeah.
So there's a certain goodness that God prevents from the curse of sin affecting all of us to its maximum ability.
Yeah, us not losing our mind is by the goodness of God.
It is, yes.
In fact, I have kind of an opposite story, because when my grandma died here a couple of years ago, she's in her 90s and loved God. And at the end of her life, even when she's laying in her hospice bed, you know, literally on her deathbed, she never lost her mind. It was sharp as a tack to the very end. The last couple of days, she was too weak to even speak, but she could mouth words to you. And I'd go there and visit. And everyone in the family would go there and visit. And everyone who went, she would pray for them.
Mm.
And always just kept her mind. It was a great testimony to everyone who's seen her and to the nurses, everyone. It was really awesome to see a believer die and go out with so much grace. And it was a gift to us. Of how she kept her mind, because, you know, so many people, you know, the mind starts to go out, especially at the very end, you know, they never happen. And I remember, you know, the day before, you know, she died during that night or whatever, but that the day before she died, I was there visiting, and, you know, I read some psalms and things to her. You know, it's basically most of what we did when he came and visited, but, you know, he'd hold her hand, then she'd pray for me, but she couldn't even make the words, but her mouth is going. Mm-hmm. and you know, just, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That is the goodness of God, you know,
sure.
So we can look at, you know, why is that person lose their mind? They have dementia. You know, it's a fallen world. Everybody should, but God has chosen to bless some, even though they don't deserve it.
Right. Which is the very definition of grace, right? It's
unmerited
favor. So yeah. You don't deserve it.
And we experience it every day, all day long. You know, we have way more goodness in our life than bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially if we stop and think. You know, so many things are just such blessings. You know, having families, having an income, being able to have a house, you know, a place to live, you know, shelter, clothing, you know, all these things that we just take for granted.
Right.
They're good things, mm-hmm. and a blessing from God that we need to be grateful for. So,
and of course, and likewise, when things are taken away, when we don't have all this, that max capacity of grace, you know, God's still good. He's still a good God because it's who he is. It's his very essence. Yeah.
And God is good regardless of my circumstances.
Right.
So, you know, that's one thing we need to remember. And back to these questions, you know, it shouldn't be why is something bad happen, is why is anything good even happen at all?
Hey, that's exactly right. So this actually reminds me of a famous psalm. Maybe it's not famous to everybody, but it is for me. I love Psalm 73. It's really good. And I think about, you know, with this series, Asaph is the one that wrote Psalm 73. And he walks through this this idea of the wicked having it so good in life. And he walks through this in such an honest way, such a relatable way. And that's what's beautiful about the Psalms is, you know, 65 books is God talking to us. And then you have this one book, but we're talking to God. And I like that idea because there's a lot of times that, you know, people have the idea that I can't tell God how I really feel. You know, like he doesn't know already.
Yeah.
You just be honest, be real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honesty goes a long ways.
It does. Sure does. Yeah. Sure does. Yeah. And of course, that's what God wants. You know, you think about a relationship, he wants a relationship. But what kind of relationship is there where you're not honest and open? You know,
are you the type of guy that shares his feelings all the time?
Not all the time, but give me a good campfire and you got it.
Yeah, that's true. Something about a campfire really opens people up.
It, you know, it's dark. You get to stare at the fire. You don't have to look at each other's face and everything. So there's something to that. Okay.
Part of that is just being in nature. You know, you're surrounded by God's creation. Just, you know, you can't help but being on. Gets you inspired. But
surprise the truth there.
Yeah.
So Asaph. He's communicating this common and inaccurate thinking process that we often have, at least here or there. I think everyone's at least struggled with this once in their life, I think. I think it's safe to say.
Yeah.
So in verse 1.
Grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Yeah, that's normal.
And it's usually because of the fertilizer.
Yeah.
Okay.
That gives you cancer.
Verse 1, Asaph gives his final conclusion, okay?
Yeah.
Right away to help us through it. Says truly, God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. Okay.
So is it really the final conclusion, or is it the qualification of I know this is true, but here's all the things I see wrong.
Right, right.
That's more what it is.
I think that is the idea where he's saying, you know what, I know this is true. You know, the guy that said I believe, help my unbelief.
Yeah.
When it came to Jesus, and so. There's a little bit of that idea because then he starts to say in verse 2 immediately, but as for me,
yeah,
okay, he's like, yeah, I understand this is true, but here's a real life situation that doesn't seem to fit in that mold.
Yeah,
he says, but as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So it almost stumbled, nearly slipped, it almost went really bad. Because he was kind of thinking down this path of it doesn't seem like God is being good to Israel and those that are pure at heart.
It's only the wicked that have any blessings.
Yeah.
Here I am. Yeah. I'm struggling. I'm broke.
Right.
My car doesn't run. I lost the wheels of my chariot.
Yeah.
That guy over there, he's wicked and evil and he's blessed.
Brand new sandals.
Yeah, brand new.
Some guy jumping really high in the air.
He's got grass. I got dirt.
Well, you know, and so that he kind of relates to all that really in verses 4 through 12.
Yeah.
As he talks about all these things that the wicked are getting. And he goes, look, they don't have any. What's funny is, you know, verse 4, for they have no pangs until death. That's the first thing. You know, no problems.
Yeah.
Is the idea.
Which is obviously not true.
It's obviously not true. Yeah.
But it can appear that way sometimes.
It sure can. Mm-hmm. Absolutely it can. And especially in today's society, when people get glamorized so much on TV or social media or something where you don't see an accurate portrayal of their life. you only see this glamorized celebrity style portrayal of their life. And so that can keep feeding false information into your head. So you think, man, I don't have it that good. Well, neither do they, really.
No.
Really. Okay, so for time's sake, we'll keep moving here. And then verses 13 and 14, this is what he says. All in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. For all the day long I've been stricken and rebuked every morning. Okay.
Why am I doing all this hard work when it doesn't benefit me at all? And that guy's blessed more.
Have you ever felt that way?
God doesn't love me anymore.
Yeah, I know I have felt this way before. In times past, you get this thing of, man, I'm doing all these things to make sure that I am conforming to the image of Christ. I'm wanting to do what's right, but boy, it can be painful to live this life.
Yeah, for me, it's more, because honestly, the results of sinful behavior have no appeal to me. But
right, yeah,
but
absolutely.
But for me, it's more like, you know, night after night after night of being up till midnight working on things, getting up for work the next morning, and week after week after week, and you say, is it worth it? Like, mm-hmm. I'm doing all of this stuff, you know, is it worth it? You know, because sometimes it would be nice to sit down, watch TV, you know,
right.
Put your feet up, right. And enjoy a lax evening.
Yes.
And you know, and you question yourself, you know, is it worth it? You know, for me, it, you know, that's kind of the question that comes up sometimes, but you know, obviously, and I know the answer. Of course, it's worth it.
And we're gonna get to the answer. Let's not get there just yet.
No, I'm not gonna give it away. But you know, I know it's. But you have these questions, and the point is, it's normal to have feelings, and it's mm-hmm. normal to have questions, and it's normal to say, you know what, you know, sometimes it doesn't look the way I think it should,
right?
And it's okay to take those concerns to God. Right.
Yeah.
And which is what he's doing. You know, he's expressing himself here.
We have to remind ourselves, you know, we just have this small perspective. We're low to the ground. We only have these two eyes. And, you know, God is above all. And he is, you know, he has that vantage point. Like, you imagine the difference of, you know, the grasshopper and the airplane and what they're able to see and identify. And sometimes we get so fixated on these little things in front of us.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening with Asaph here.
We got to remember, you know, this is, you know, the world's in 6,000 years old now, roughly, and we don't know the exact number.
Yeah, roughly.
And you know, however many billions of people, and you know, we're just here for a little bit, our little spot, and you know, we don't see the whole big picture. We don't see everything God's got going on, what's happening, who's changing, and what, you know, we don't see everything. You know what Solomon say? Our life is just a vapor. You know, it's mm-hmm. in and out. You're gone, a whiff in the air.
Right.
So, all right.
So
what's
Asaph
got to say?
We'll continue here. And so verse 15, very crucial statement, says, if I had said, I will speak thus. In other words, if he would have been teaching these thoughts that he's been having, he says, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. Boy, is it so important for us to be careful what we say, how we react to life in front of the children, the next generation. Mm-hmm. Because even just living life, we're teaching them how to live life.
Yeah.
Just by our example alone.
Yeah.
Our actions and reactions, all those sort of things. It's very careful. She says, he held back. That was good. He was thinking in his head and he realized, you know what? I've got to do something about this. I got to figure this out.
Yeah.
And he didn't speak out yet. That takes wisdom. We got to be careful what we say and really take it to the Lord first.
Yeah.
That's important.
Is there a proverb about that? You know, don't answer until you've heard the whole question. You know, it's kind of the same thing. Like, sometimes just be patient. Don't talk. Just figure out something first.
Be slow to speak. Yes, all through Proverbs and even into James and things. And
it's all through the Bible. But
right. And so what's really neat, I love this. I love this part here. Verses 16 and 17. He says, but when I thought how to understand this. So that's the first key.
Yeah.
He's saying, I want to understand.
Yeah.
I want to learn because I know God is true.
Which is proof that this is a legitimate question, not just him questioning God.
Right. Absolutely. He says, it seemed to me a wearisome task. He understood that this would take some thinking. This would take a process. It was kind of it seemed like a burden. It was such a hard thing to consider.
Yeah.
But he wasn't going to let that stop him.
No.
I don't care the cost. I want to know truth.
Yeah.
And that's what this podcast is really all about as well.
Yeah.
Knowing truth, knowing God for who he is.
So what was the solution then?
He says, until. So it was wearisome and not understandable until, verse 17, I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I discerned their end, referring to the wicked.
Yeah.
Beautiful thing there. So we think about, why would people go to the sanctuary of God back then? How does that relate to us today? So really, what are they doing? They're searching for the presence of God. You know, God was in the Holy of Holies in the temple. You have the written word of God in the temple. Not everybody had access. The scrolls were in the temple, and you had people there that were trained on what they meant. They would teach them. They'd promote them. You could read them for yourselves. It was a beautiful thing. Nowadays, we have a great deal. Nowadays, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit as believers, God's presence in us. And we have the written word of God in so many forms, even just if you have a phone, right?
Yeah.
It's just so many different forms.
I can't tell you how many times during the week, even I put my phone out, look up something great, you know?
Absolutely.
So it's convenient.
But the point is not exactly how, you know, where you go to get those things. It's that you're going to God. You're going to his word. He's the one that holds the answers, nothing else.
Yeah. So then relaying this back to our question, is God good?
Right.
Yes, he is. I mean, that's the answer, which we've explored that some, but, we're going to have these questions. It's going to come up, you know, why do good things or bad things happen to good people? Why is there pain and death and suffering? And when we get our answers, we need to be going to the Bible and the Word of God for our answers to all of our solutions, for all of our problems. And we need to remember the truths of God's Word. You know, we know that God is good. We know that evil exists. Well, how does that all relate then? So then we can see, well, you know, God didn't create evil.
Right.
You know, man's sin that brought evil into the existence. You know, but we can just keep, you know, lay out the truths that we know, go to God's word and have that explained to you. Now, there may not be everything you understand. You may not grasp all of it. You know, one day we will, right?
Right.
You know, when we're with God, you know, it will all make sense. But for now, you know, we're limited in what we can know, but we can know the truths of God's word.
Absolutely. Yeah. You should never be afraid to say, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's
lots of things I don't know.
That's
okay. Lots of things you don't know.
Right.
And the more you know, the less you don't know.
Yeah.
Something like that.
The more you learn, the more you're realizing that you don't know stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we only got a couple minutes here left. So let's wrap this up real quick. So I'll summarize for you the rest of verses 18 through 28. Asaph is revealing that, you know, God is sovereign. He's in control. He's just and he's good. Goodness requires justice. It is not a pain-free existence. There is punishment. That's justice for evil.
Yeah.
And of course, Christ took my punishment. Someone did pay for it. Christ took it. It's a beautiful thing. So then Asaph, he confesses and repents of his sin because he was kind of denying God's goodness there for a while in his thinking process. And he goes, no, that's not true. This is reality. He begins to adore God for who he truly is and gets that good theology.
Yeah. And a good God has to be just.
Right, right, right.
And it's not loving and it's not good to not be just.
So, absolutely.
Sin demands punishment. And that's just the way it is. So
I praise God that he is good. I am not. I'm required to take on his goodness. It's his covering. It's his covering that I need. I am not worthy. And I praise God that he is so loving to include me in his plan. That's a wonderful thing. We think about God's goodness. I hope this series has been a help to you. You think through some of these things, but I can imagine that you'd have some questions, some unanswered things. Yeah. So make sure you email us. What's that email?
podcast@thinklikechrist.org.
Right.
Send us an email with any of your questions.
We'd be happy to help you out the best we can.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see you another time. Hope you keep tuning in for us. Check out the YouTube channel, the podcast and various platforms, our websites, our ministries. and like, see how you can get involved.
Give us a 5-star.
That's right. All right. We'll talk to you later.